Colombia reject campaign out there. The market campaign. We are all ears.
Good morning, Honorable National Commissioner. I have a number of apologies, Honorable Meshu. Good morning. I haven't seen any of you for a very long time.
Good morning.
Morning, Honorable Meshu. Good morning, Honorable Moss, and happy birthday to Honorable Moss. Honorable Moss, you've been wished happy birthday live on TV.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, the whole nation knows it's your birthday today. Good morning, Honorable Faku. Honorable Shembeni, before Shembeni tells me that I have excluded him. Welcome back, Honorable Shembeni. I've missed you. Good morning.
Thank you, Chair.
Welcome, Honorable Shembeni. How I have an apology from Honorable Whitfield and Honorable Groenewald. Honorable Molekwa has also sent an apology. Patrain has informed me that she will be having load shedding. Morning, Honorable Tablanche.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody.
Honorable Tablanche, normally we see your handsome face. What's wrong with you today? We haven't seen you for a while. Honorable Tablanche, you want to see? Yes, that's what we want to see. Morning, Honorable Tablanche. Morning, Honorable Peacock.
I'm not sure about the beautiful face of Tablanche.
Handsome. Men are
good
handsome.
Morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, yes, the beauty is coming now, Minister.
Morning, Chair.
Morning.
Morning, morning.
Good morning, Honorable Patrain. Honorable members, if I don't see Majosi, honorable members, we are going to allow the Auditor General and the Minister and the National Commissioner sufficient time and the Deputy Minister. The Auditor General will be given all the time to present their slides. But National Commissioner, the presentations from SAPS and all your units have to be very brief. They are not going to be allowed to do all the slides and because we are running out of time. Honorable Whip, we need your handsome face, please, Honorable Whip. Morning, Honorable Whip. There we
morning,
have
morning, work. Morning, sir.
Morning, Honorable Whip. Today is your day. You will be whooping
morning,
all
sir.
Of us. Good morning, Whip. Whip, it's your day to whoop us today.
Yes.
So, Honorable Whip, you even have to whoop the chair of the committee. So if you see the chair of committee is going too long, please just can you interrupt the chair and tell the chair that she's out of order. You have the right to whip us today.
Yeah.
We're depending on you. Honorable members, we are faced with the challenges of load shedding. So a number of members will be in and out of the meeting due to load shedding. I've also asked the whip to assist with chairing when I am not available. So that is why I am asking that we have our presentations as brief as possible due to the load shedding and due to the fact that members will be in and out. I would like to thank our staff, especially Babawa, who has sent our minutes and sent our presentations well in advance. I would like to thank General Sotole and his team. Honorable Minister, your presentations were here very early. During the elections, they sent their presentations. Minister, thank you very much. Deputy Minister and the team, We have worked very well as a team, and we thank you for the cooperation and the fact that you have all assisted us in ensuring that all our documents are well assisted and well in time. The portfolio committee will start by adopting the minutes. We do have a quorum, and we'll start by adopting the minutes before we look at the Auditor General's presentation. Honorable members, today we are very proud, Minister. We commend you and your team for having given us such sterling work. I'm going to thank the CFO and your team. I will try and mention all their names today, because General Vuma has had some, she's had a very terrible time in the committee, but today, General Vuma, you are the very, very best person. And the CFO, we gave you some very terrible moments in this committee, but today we are complimenting all of you for the good work that you have done, and the fact that we are in such a good position when it comes to the Auditor General's report. I will ask that you give me the minutes and that we adopt the minutes before we allow the Minister to speak and the Auditor General's office to assist us to do their presentation. Honorable Majozi, welcome. We haven't seen you for a while. She is having network problems. She also has load shedding in her area, and her network is very, very bad. She'll be in and out of the meeting. Honorable Majozi, when you are here, I'll welcome you again. Members, could we do the minutes? Could the minutes be flighted? And just indicate which minutes you are flighting for us. Thank you very much. We are going to have the minutes. I see a hand. Honorable Meshu, you would like to speak before I take the minutes?
Chairperson, just to forward my apology, I'm attending another meeting at 10 o'clock. Thank you. Portfolio of International Relations, yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Meshu. We appreciate your apology, and we appreciate the fact that you are always in our meeting, and your contribution is really appreciated. Honorable Meshu, if you could stay for the Auditor General's presentation, I'll appreciate that. Honorable members, I'm now going to do the minutes. Babawa, are you doing the minutes? Babawa will be leaving us early. Thank you very much, Babawa, and good luck for your examinations. Babawa, are you going to be doing the minutes, or Pilot Gwebu will be assisting us? Is Pilot here? Babawa will be leaving early because of her examinations that she's writing today. I again have a 049057 41. This number is very familiar. Could that person please indicate who you are? If your gadget is named 049.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. This is General Vuma. I don't know why my gadget is doing this all the time, but it is a state laptop. Thank you very much.
You see, General Vuma, you know, you and I, we start on such a good note today. I'm complimenting you. Now, this number I've seen before. Your gadget is always giving me this number. Please do not kick out General Vuma. Today, General Vuma, is your day to shine. You and General Reed, you have had very difficult moments in this committee, but today is your day where we appreciate you, and we would like to mention you, General Vuma, General Reed, our CFO. We are not going to ask too many difficult questions because what we have given you trouble on, Deputy Minister, you are also in the firing line. Today we are full of compliments. Could I ask the minutes? I'm trying to get the minutes, that's why I'm speaking so much. Dr. Kinnis, who's doing the minutes? I would like the minutes to be flighted, please. We have two sets of minutes.
Morning, Chair, and morning, Honourable Members. We're just having some technical difficulty. I'm waiting for them to make me a co-host, and I will flight the minutes. Thank you, Chair. So I'm waiting on Babalwa and Pilot to make me a co-host. Thanks.
Honourable Members, we do have time constraints. Doc, can you assist us, please? We cannot continue the meeting. We have to conclude our minutes.
Chair, we have circulated the minutes to everybody. Let me see if I can get a Pilot to make me a co-host, then I can apply the minutes. Thanks, Chief.
We have circulated the minutes, but I need it to be approved. So it has to be before me, please, Doc.
We're trying to do that, Chair. Thanks.
Do you have the agenda? Could someone flight the agenda? What is happening to us today? Honourable Members, have you received the agenda?
Yes, Chair, we have.
Yes, we did, Chair.
Yes, we did, Chair.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful, Honourable Majozi. Good to hear your voice again. Welcome back. We have noted that we all have load shedding. Honourable Majozi, we'll all be in and out. So we have also asked that the WIP assist with the chairing. There will be a time that I will have to leave the meeting to attend another meeting. I've requested that during that time, the WIP assists with chairing the meeting.
Chair.
Honourable Minister.
Okay. Chair, I'm in advance requesting the permission that I might leave at lunchtime for the other duty.
Yes, Honourable Minister, that is why I said so that we can finish. I'm particularly just needing you to be here when the Auditor General's office does the presentation and we take very brief questions. Tipe from the Mule Tipe from the Auditor General. Good morning, all the members of the Auditor General's office. Could we please make them the co-host as well so that they can also control their slides? The Auditor General's office also has to be co-host. We are not having much luck.
Chair, I'm very sorry, but here's a huge technical problem which we're trying to sort out. We just can't load anything. So this is very, very, very difficult for me. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Could we then, Honourable Members, could I ask that you go onto your gadgets and that you try and look at the minutes of the 25th of August, 2021. It was the briefing by IPED and the Civilian Secretariat on their quarterly reports. There we have it now, the Portfolio Committee. This is the 31st of August. Could we first do the 31st of August? Do you have any amendments that you would like to propose? Corrections that you would like to propose? Members, I'm not going to take it page by page because of the difficulties. Dr. Kinnis, you can move the pages. Page 1, page 2. You can go. Continue, please. Next page. This is the 31st of August. We have the follow-up meeting with the Department of Police, Department of Community Safety, and the cluster chairpersons of the CPS. Do you have any corrections that you would like to propose? You can conclude now. Corrections? Do I have a proposal for the adoption of this meeting, the minutes of this meeting of the 31st?
Good morning, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Peacock.
Yes, I propose for the adoption of meeting of the 31st of August.
We have a proposal for adoption. Do we have a seconder?
Good morning, Jay. I adopt, I second it for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Moss. Second, could we now do the 25th? Any progress with the 25th? That's in the zip. Honorable Faku also has another meeting. International Relations has another meeting. So Honorable Faku will also be leaving us at 10:30. I hope to be done with the Auditor General's report by then. 25th of August, do we have, you have all read the minutes. Doc, could you scroll down, please? Any corrections? Tablanche, do you have any? Honorable Tablanche? Honorable Shembeni? Honorable members, can you hear me?
Honorable we can hear you. We can hear you.
Honorable Deputy Minister, your connection is also very unstable. Members, do we have a proposal for adoption?
Good morning, Chair. Peacock.
Honorable Peacock proposes adoption.
Thank
do I
you.
Have a seconder? Thank you, Honorable Peacock. Do I have a seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Seconded by Honorable Shembeni. Thank you very much, members. Members, we will now look at the Auditor General's report. For I think we have to mention that when we met the last time and we had the SAPs presenting the report. In 2016-17, they had a qualified report with findings. 2017-18, qualified with findings. 2018-19, qualified with findings. 2019-20, qualified with findings. Finally, 2020-2021, unqualified audit report, unqualified with findings. We are not going to even say that next year or this coming year where we want to have unqualified with no findings. Honorable Minister, your civilian secretariat and our civilian secretariat for 2020-2021 also has an unqualified report with no findings. IPED, you still have an unqualified report with findings. And CIRA, once more for the third year in a row, you have an unqualified report with no findings. The civilian secretariat last year, you had a qualified report with findings. And this year you are back to having an unqualified report with no findings. Needless to say, we would like to have all four our units having unqualified reports with no findings. Minister, for the Auditor General report, National Commissioner, I do not allow you to do the inputs. I will allow you to do inputs after the presentation of the Auditor General. Auditor General's office, could you please introduce yourselves? And as you introduce your team, could they please show us their faces? Could they start their videos and show us their faces? Thank you very much. You can introduce yourselves.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Minister. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, Generals and colleagues. My name is Andries Segeto. I'm the business unit leader for the business unit that takes care of the police portfolio within the office of the AG. With me, I'm accompanied by the team members that take care of the actual audit of the Department of Police and some of the entities that Honorable Chairperson mentioned as part of the intro. I will hand over to the engagement manager, Ms. Mule Tipe, will introduce herself and also at the same time introduce some of the other team members on the platform. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much and welcome, Andries. You may continue.
Thank you so much.
Morning, Ms. Dipe. Welcome. Good to see you again and your team. Welcome, you Mr.
As always, Honorable Chair, good morning to yourself, Honorable Chairperson, to the Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and to the Honorable Members of Parliament and other colleagues. My name is Mule Tipe. I'm the Senior Manager responsible for the portfolio of police, which includes SAPS, CSP, as well as PSERA. And with me, I have Dendani. He'll switch on the mic and introduce himself as the Senior Manager responsible for IPID, to be followed by Cameron Diamond, the managers on the audit, as well as Mukiti Mulausi, both managers on the audit. Thank you so much, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister. And good morning, Honorable Members of the Parliament. I am Dendani Stanley Mafunyiswa, the Senior Manager in the IPID's audit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Are we done with the introductions now?
Good morning.
Ms. Tipe?
Chairperson, we are not done with the introductions. There's Cameron is going to introduce himself, followed by Mukiti Mulausi. Then we're going to be done with the introductions, Chair. Thank you.
I'm just waiting for them.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Cameron Diamond. Good morning, honorable members, the National Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, Senior Management of SAPS, as well as the National Commissioner. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the Honorable Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Honorable Members. I am Mukiti Mulausi on the audit of Department of Police. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You could continue now. Stipe?
Thank you, Chair. I will be doing the first part of the presentation. Honorable Chairperson, must I just maybe make use of the opportunity just to thank you for our opportunity to be able to present to the committee and assess the committee in terms of its oversight responsibilities. From our side, let's also take the opportunity to also wish Honorable Moss a happy birthday. May she be granted with many more and have a blessed day and year ahead of her. Further to that, I'll then jump into the presentation. Honorable Chair, taking your guidance and the time constraints and the pressures, I will jump to the slide that deals with the audit outcomes, the five different audit outcomes. As my colleagues are moving to the slide, I think we all have a good understanding and a sense that from a legal point of view, the Office of the AG consists as a result of the constitutional mandate where we conduct audits as required by that particular piece of legislation. And the audits that we conduct are further informed by the Public Audit Act. And obviously in the Public Audit Act, if you'll see, Honorable Chairperson, it actually requires us explicitly to focus on three key areas. So when we give feedback, we focus on the statement of financial statements, the status of the financial statements. We focus on the audit of performance information, and we also focus on compliance. So basically, when you look at our report, you'll also note, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister, that we give feedback in line with those particular three areas as informed by the legislation. So in at any given point in time, when we give feedback on a particular institution or entity, we have to give a view on the financial statements, whether 1 + 2 = 3, what was the status of the credible reporting of the performance information by that particular institution, and also how well that particular institution observed key legislation in executing its day-to-day operations or activities. Honorable Chairperson, maybe just a slide before this one, where we have the five different outcomes of the five different gentlemen who are running. So when we do all our work, The work is translated into the audit opinions. The audit opinions with the gentlemen that are running on the one slide before this one, please. So the outcomes are depicted, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, from left to right, being the best outcome you can get from the auditors, all the way to the worst possible outcome that an institution can get from the auditors. What do these colors mean for us, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members? The one on the left is what we commonly refer to as a clean audit. I heard Honorable Chairperson speaking quite fondly of you know, the commitment of this particular portfolio for all of
Chairperson?
Yes.
We are back, Chair.
Are we all back now?
Yes, I'm back.
We were all kicked out of the meeting. It said our meeting had ended. My apologies, Minister, Deputy Minister, and to the Auditor General's office. Those members, National Commissioner, my apologies. We are having terrible technical problems today. I think it's we've been away from Parliament, so our technical teams are having difficulties. Let us allow the Auditor General's office to continue. We are back now.
Well, this incident here needs to be audited.
We'll do that, Minister. Thank you for your advice, Minister.
Thanks.
Do we have the Auditor General's office back with us?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, we are back.
My apologies for that. You may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I thought the Honorable Minister was going to say that it must be investigated first, and now he says it must be audited first before it can be investigated. Just on a lighter note. Thank you, Honorable Chair. So, Honorable Chair, what I was busy doing when we got cut off was just to give some context as to exactly what these outcomes mean. So when we talk about unqualified or we talk about qualified, what exactly does it mean and how should it be interpreted by the users? So we do have a fair idea. I appreciate that a lot of people in the platform may have a good idea, but just for the benefit of some of the members who may not, and some of our other users out there, so that they're exactly clear what the color yellow or purple or red or green might mean in the context of the outcomes that are going to be shared when Mula does the detailed presentation. So as I was saying, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister and colleagues, is the way the outcomes are set up, you'll see it flows from the left-hand side to the right-hand side, being from the best outcome that you can possibly get from the audit process all the way to the worst outcome that a particular institution can attain from the audit process. So in the context of a clean audit, earlier on, Honorable Chairperson, I did mention that as the Office of the AG, we are legally required to look at three specific distinct areas when we do our reporting. That was the credibility, completeness, and the reliability of the financial statements, coupled with the ability of an institution to report credibly and accurately on its performance information. And again, I'm saying their ability to report on their performance information in terms of their performance reporting. And then also lastly, how well they observed key legislation as and when they were executing their day-to-day activities. So for an institution or an entity to at any given point in time say that they obtained a clean audit, it means that, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, they got a financially unqualified audit outcome. So the financial statements when they were being reviewed by the auditors, 1 + 2 = 3, so that everything worked out there. It was well supported. It was complete, reliable, and accurate financial statements. And also in the second area, when we looked at the performance reporting, we found the performance reporting to be credible, reliable, and accurate. So again, we're saying whatever they have reported, it was supported by evidence. So they could be reporting 10% achievement or 90% achievement. All we do is express a view to say at least what you've reported is credible, accurate, and reliable. And then lastly, then that particular institution or organization did not have any material non-compliance with applicable laws and regulations, especially insofar as it relates to the PFMA or supply chain management laws and regulations. So all three of those particular tests have to be applicable for an institution or an entity to say they attained a clean audit. The yellow means financially unqualified opinion with findings. So that one, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, is where an institution would have financial statements are unqualified. So 1 + 2 = 3. However, there would be some remaining findings on the other two areas, meaning that the particular institution or entity had material or significant findings on either performance information or on their ability to have observed the laws and regulations. So in other words, there were material instances of non-compliance. A qualification, the purple in the middle block, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, means that, and if you even read the paragraph, the way in which it's structured and outlined in the reporting, it says if you look at the financial statements, there are a number of line items in your balance sheet, income statement, and your disclosure note. So somewhere along the financial statements, maybe one or two specific areas, the auditors were not happy as a result of the audit process. And those particular instances or areas are then qualified. So a qualification could be limited to PPE or your asset, but your revenue, your expenditure, and all other items that are disclosed in the financial statement are okay. And then we say, except for your PPE or your assets, the rest of the financial statements are fine, but except for that particular portion, so we ring-fence it. And that portion obviously means that the errors we found in that particular financial statement component were exceeding the tolerable thresholds or the threshold that the auditors were comfortable to accept, and therefore we say therefore it's materially misstated. The adverse and the disclaimer opinion, like we've already mentioned, those are some of our worst opinions we can get. The adverse just basically means we have disagreements with whatever management has presented. Management presented the set of financial statements. The evidence indicates that management should have maybe included some different information. And on the basis of those adjustments not being made, and also them being pervasive, so hitting more than one or two financial statement line items, so basically hitting a number of financial statement line items, then it becomes material and pervasive.
Recording in progress.
Issue an adverse opinion. And I also consent to the recording as well. And then disclaimer, obviously, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, we deem it to be the worst audit outcome because management would have presented a set of financial statements and reporting, and then the particular reporting or what management purports is their achievement in terms of finances, performance, and or compliance is not able to be substantiated by supporting evidence. So the auditors don't even express a view on whatever would have been presented by management. And therefore, we can't even say whether it is a disagreement or whether you could have done it differently. We just don't know because it was not supported adequately by supporting schedules and supporting information. So again, that backdrop, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, we will now go to the slide with the specific outcomes in the portfolio. I'll deal with those two slides before I hand over to Ms. Mulatipe to take us through the rest of the detail. Two slides on, please, or three slides on, please, if we may, to the person who's in control of the slides. This is 1, 2, and 3. So we stop on this one, which says the outcomes of the portfolio over 2 years. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this particular slide. I think Honorable Chair has done a very good job of articulating the improvement and commending management for the improvement as well. So if one unpacks the understanding of the outcome and translates it into what it means for the portfolio and how well this portfolio has fared in terms of the understanding that we've just gained, the Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members will see that there's a distinct increase in terms of or improvement in terms of the audit outcomes, where the number of institutions that attained audits improved, as well as the institutions that maybe were struggling with one or two specific areas in their financial statement items were able to deal with those particular areas and therefore now moved into the realm of financially unqualified, but maybe with still some findings on performance information as well as compliance. That'd be the colleagues that are in the yellow block at the Department of Police and IPED. We commend the management of CIRA for having sustained their clean audit outcome across the 2 years. And then we also congratulate CSP for having, again, once again, moved back into the realm of the clean audit. Therefore, our key message to these particular institutions, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, would be that they continue to maintain those key internal controls that they implemented to move to this space to make sure that they sustain these audit outcomes. I always say, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, as the office of the AG, we sometimes get asked, or the state get advice that says a clean audit does not necessarily mean that the service delivery happening on the ground. And whilst we do agree with that particular statement from a factual point of view, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I think you would agree with me that if you have an institution that at least has got its financial management disciplines bedded down, at least management can then focus their attention on making sure that they move on service delivery. Now imagine, like you mentioned earlier, Honourable Chairperson, you want to talk and hold management accountable in terms of service delivery, but at the back of your mind, you also still have to deal with the status of governance because they are qualified or they are disclaimed. So often we find that those good disciplines that are being implemented to deal with financial management disciplines and those best practices, if they are replicated in the service delivery realm as well, then at least the attention and the focus could be directed in that space as well. That would be my response to anybody who then tries to counter the importance of having a clean audit and the importance of having good governance as the key message in your portfolio. So, Honourable Chair, just in terms of our overall messages, on the next slide, please, before we conclude, and I hand over to Mule. I would like to leave the committee with maybe just one or two things high level that are still requiring some form of attention. From our point of view, the Department of Police and IPED got tripped up in the current financial year from achieving clean audits, especially on the area of performance information. Now, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the Department of Police is quite a large institution. Having said that, it therefore has a number of sites or offices or locations right through the country, and it's highly dependent on this decentralized model where the respective police officers and the individuals on the ground also have to play their part in making sure that information is available, that is collected and collated in a consistent and uniform manner that will allow the department then centrally report and give a fair reflection in terms of its performance information. So if there is a missing chain or a link in the chain in this particular process, or a cog that's not working in terms of this particular process, it then renders the police exposed to having material findings in terms of performance information. And that's an area where they've really been struggling in terms of implementing successful action plans. And we continue to urge management to continue engaging the respective leadership and making sure that the different deputy national commissioners also hold their particular responsible officials accountable, and they make sure that the action plans that are being devised at the central level are decentralized and implemented by the respective officials who we rely so heavily on to be able to do what's required on the ground, and then also have the supporting evidence available, with appreciation that they also still need to go and fight crime, for a lack of or want of a better word. So therefore, you'll see the first bullet on the left hand that talks to the performance information. IPED was a little bit different. In terms of their performance information, they had specific system challenges, and therefore the system challenges and the connectivity problems that they were experiencing resulted in investigations not always being uploaded timeously. So therefore, when the auditors come and request for information to see how best the performance they've reported is supported, then we found some limitations in that space because of those investigations not being uploaded onto the system. And then obviously, we've spoken about the action plans. I'll also maybe just leave a parting shot, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The Department of Police has a significant budget, so they spend a lot of money to get things done over and above the compensation or the salary bill. In spending that money, we must make sure that we observe key laws and regulations. So irregular expenditure has been something that the department has also been grappling with. In the current year, Mule will give a bit of context when she deals with the details a little bit later on, Honourable Chair. The department's irregular expenditure balance seems a little bit less than the previous year. It's not necessarily a good story to tell, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. It's just because there was a change in the legislation and how it's applied by the National Treasury, where it gives an institution some gap to go and investigate what has gone wrong in terms of the irregular expenditure. So whilst we do not have a lot of confirmed irregular expenditure, we have a significant balance. I think it's about 3.5 billion that is sitting under investigations, the irregular expenditure under investigations. So it's just basically a timing issue. And in the current year, we are definitely going to focus on that as the Office of the AG, and we hope that management heeds our call, and they go and make sure that they spend some attention and focus on this, replicating all those good best practices that they implemented to deal with the financial statements, to also make sure that they deal with the issues of the supply chain management to try and minimize the issues of irregular expenditure. So that would be my recommendations in terms of the management. From a portfolio point of view, we did engage the accounting officer. They know exactly what we've asked them to do in terms of the processes and implementation of internal controls. They know exactly what we've asked them in terms of the action plans, like I've outlined. We ask that the portfolio committee just make sure that we ask those colleagues, the accounting officers, when they come and they do their quarterly reporting, that we also focus on asking them how well they are faring in terms of the implementation of their action plans and how well they are doing in terms of consequence management and how well they are making sure that they continue to deal with the errors and the issues that they're grappling with in terms of the performance information. Honorable Chair, honorable members, honorable minister and colleagues, I will now hand over to Ms. Mule, who will deal with the rest of the slides. You would have seen, like I mentioned, the three areas. So she's going to delve into detail in terms of the status of the financial information, the detail of the compliance, and the detail of the credible, reliable reporting or performance reporting of the institution. And then she'll also do some closing for us. In line with that, Honorable Chair, under your guidance and your permission, I will hand over to Ms. Tipe to continue with the presentation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much for that very efficient presentation, very informative, and your comments are well appreciated. Thank you for the sterling work you've done, Andres. We really acknowledge the very good work you have done. I hand over to Ms. Tipe.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, for this particular opportunity. I think Andres has already taken us through the presentation relating to the outcome of the portfolio on the financial statement. If we can then move to the next screen share. Thank you. Yes, Andres did outline to say that we're looking into three focus areas, which is the credible financial reporting, performance information, as well as compliance. He did mention to say that 1 + 2 = 3, as and when he was making his introductory remarks. If we move on to the next screen. Yes. Yes. So if we look into financial information, he did again mention to say that Department of Police as well as ITID, they were tripped in terms of the performance reporting. So if we're looking into the quality of performance information, Chairperson, Department of Police as well as ITID, they had findings relating to the usefulness and reliability of reported information. And this was due to the inadequate monitoring and reporting of useful and reliable performance information. On CIRA and CSP, there were no findings, hence they have received the clean audit outcomes. And in terms of the financial statements, there were no material findings that we've raised leading to a qualification. And Andres did mention in the initial slide looking into the whole portfolio to say that 2 got clean audits, which were green, and the 2 were yellow, which were unqualified with material audit findings. If we move on to the next slide, on this one, we're looking into credibility relating to the financial reporting, and we're seeing an improvement there to say that there were financial statements relating to all 4 entities were submitted without material errors, which is an improvement from the prior financial years, if we're comparing 1920 and 2020 financial year. And the improvement on the Department of Police is attributed to the top leadership, first of all, acknowledging the findings and being receptive of the findings that is issued. This was relating to the valuation of the network assets, which has been a repeat qualification the prior years, which they managed to clear, and as well as effectively responding to these particular findings, roping in all the relevant people to come and assist the department in terms of moving upwards, thereby resulting in a unqualified audit opinion. So again, Andres did mention to say internal controls, they are key to ensure that there is minimal findings or even no findings that are raised in order to maintain the unqualified audit opinion. So in terms of the recommendations that we have there relating to the credibility of financial reporting, management should continue to maintain effective and adequate reviews to maintain the quality of the financial statements that have been submitted for audit purposes. The one thing that is noted for IPID is that the position of the CFO is vacant, which is a key position within the finance environment. So there we're recommending that it be filled as soon as possible. If we go on to the next slide relating to the performance reporting, this is our second focus area. This is the area where we have issues, particularly relating to the Department of Police as well as IPID. And on this one, the root causes, when you look at the root causes, is attributed to a consequence management not being implemented all the time or not being implemented at the right level. So the internal controls relating to this area, they are not consistently implemented despite controls having been designed. The issue there, you find that it's implementation. If we look at IPID, I just did mention to say there's inadequate reviews to confirm the completeness of supporting documentation, which is uploaded on the system, supports the reported information. This is attributed to the record keeping, where the system does not really assist the department in terms of the uploading of this information. In terms of our recommendation there, we recommend that there needs to be the standard operating procedures that are designed to contain the processes to record information and to store supporting evidence for measuring the planned indicator, as well as management should develop action plans to address the findings that we would have raised. And then again, that internal audit function to monitor the action plan that will be developed by management. So the CSP and CERA, again, they did not have any findings, but the findings are on IPID and the Department of Police. If we go on to the next slide, this is where we're giving a little bit more context in terms of the finding that we would have raised on the IPID as well as Department of Police. So we're noting that there's lack of progress to address the prior root causes concerning the performance information. So there's no progress on some indicators, and then on some of them they are a repeat, some of them that we only reported on in this financial year. So if we're looking at Department of Police, the findings, the material findings that we have raised there, they mostly relate to contact crime as well as the firearms and number of stolen, robbed of vehicles, as well as the illegal liquor outlets that have been closed. So when we look at the nature of these findings that we have raised, some of these findings, there's disagreement. And when we say disagreement, we literally mean that the information that we're auditing, when we compare to what is on the system, we are not able to reconcile the two. So there are differences. Hence, we call it a disagreement misstatement. So that is attributed to the women and children indicators and the contact crime, as well as the number of stolen, lost, and illegal firearms recovered. If we're looking into the number of identifiable stolen, lost, subs firearms recovered, as well as the number of stolen, robbed vehicles recovered, there we have a disagreement misstatement and a limitation misstatement. And limitation basically means that we have not received the information that then talks to what has been recorded on the system. And then if we're looking into the percentage of identified liquor outlets, this one is a limitation misstatement, because we're not given the information that would then support what has been reported in the performance report. The main drivers there at the Department of Police, I think it has been mentioned to say, is consequence measures were not appropriate and at the correct level to prevent the repeat findings relating to the firearms recovered and reported contact crimes. And we specifically mentioning the firearms and the contact crime because those are repeat findings. If we go on to IPID, the issue there, as mentioned previously, is record keeping, we have the first three findings that we have there, they are limitation, meaning the information was not submitted, and the last indicator there is the disagreement misstatement as well as the limitation misstatement. If we're looking at the main drivers relating to these findings that we've raised, is that the system does not support the collection, collation, and timely capturing of supporting evidence, which then requires significant manual intervention. So we have an issue there relating to the limitation of scope. If we go on to the next slide, it relates to the third focus area, which is compliance with legislation. So this is where we look into the supply chain management environment and the findings that we've raised relating to compliance. If we look at these findings, you'll note that there is an improvement. This is because CSP, it managed to join CERA and IPID in this year. So there's about 75, there's about 50% increase from the prior year on when we talk into the findings on compliance with key legislation. So now, in the current year, yes, there has been an improvement. So the only department that is challenged there is the Department of Police because of the findings which relate to the procurement as well as contract management is going to be unpacked in the next slide. So if we go on to the next slide, on this one, we are reflecting on the irregular expenditure, unauthorized and fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the portfolio. Here, it's just a comparison from one department and entities, and we have staff there leading the portfolio, but bearing in mind that obviously it's a big entity with the biggest budget allocation. So some the reported irregular expenditure in the financial statements for the current year is 1.7 million, and then the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is just under 1,600,000 there, and then IPID leading to be about 712 million. So the findings relating to these, they are attributed to failure to follow competitive process as well as incorrect evaluation of the bids. When we now look into the percentages relating to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the 600,000 there is 87%, which was incurred by the Department of Police. If we move, Honorable Chair, to the next slide, just reflecting on irregular expenditure over the 2 years. Irregular expenditure, we know it. There has been contravention with key legislation. Goods may have been delivered, but the prescribed process is not followed. So as we have reflected to say, on Department of Police, there's about 1.7 million there, but the overall for the portfolio is 2 million rents. And then the irregular expenditure attributed to the prior, which is 1920, it was 452 million. So there has been a big reduction there from the current year to the prior year. It's important to note that in the financial statements, there's 1.7 that has been disclosed, but in the notes to the financial statements, there is about 3.5 billion of irregular expenditure, which is still under investigation and has not been included in the main note, which is 1.7 million in the Department of Police alone. And then this is because Treasury amended the framework to regular expenditure, the guidelines say, to indicate that the department has about 3 months to investigate this particular amount and therefore give the correct reflections in terms of including the correct amount, accurate and complete presentation of this particular amount in the main note to the financial statements. And then if we're reflecting on the previous year irregular expenditure, which has been reported for investigation, we have a challenge there at the Department of Police relating to the prior year investigation. But now we note that National Treasury has given them a leeway to go and correct. But when you go for interim, we will then be able to assess as to whether there is an improvement or the amount is going to be increased relating to the presentation that would be in the financial statements. If we're looking into the nature of the irregular expenditure there, the majority of the findings included there majority of the findings in the performance in the DOP, it's attributed to the non-compliance with the triple PSA requirements, the local content, and the contractual requirements not met, as we have it in the audit report. And in the IPID, it's attributed to the majority results from employees' appointments that did not follow the proper processes. So as I've mentioned before, to say 3.5 billion, it remains under investigation. If we go on to the next slide, reflecting on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there we are noting a decrease from the prior year, where we can see that there is an improvement, with the amount there being 1 million rand. And then if we look at CSP in terms of the previous year fruitless and wasteful reported for investigation, we'll note that for CSP in the 1920 financial year, there was an issue relating to the investigations of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But in the current year, because they are green, it means that there has been an improvement in that particular environment. If we go on to the next slide, which talks to the supply chain management environment, talks to the overall regression in terms of SCM compliance. In terms of all SCM findings that should be investigated, we're noting that there's the improvement there of 50%, which is attributed to CIRA and CSP because of the clean audit. And then the most findings, they relate to the Department of Police. So now the findings, again, is that we have found is the contractual requirements that were not met in the Department of Police, and the triple PSA requirements within the Department of Police, and then again, no financial and or procurement authority obtained. And then within the IPID, it is attributed to the irregular appointments. If we look at the recommendations there, again, preventative controls remain key and needs to be strengthened to ensure that there's proper compliance with the applicable prescripts and there's proper prevention of irregular expenditure and of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then again, there needs to be constant training because things are always changing. Therefore, the people need to be constantly trained to ensure that there's consistent application of the prescripts, as well as consequence management where there are repeat instances of non-compliance. If we move on to the next slide, Honorable Chair, on the next slide, we're talking to the material irregularities. And these material irregularities is because of the amendments to the PAA, which were made and were effective 1 April 2019. It's just to reflect to say that an MI is any non-compliance with legislation. It constitutes fraud, theft, or breach of fiduciary duty. It needs to have been identified during an audit, and that has resulted or likely to result in a material financial loss, misuse, or loss of a material public resource, or substantial harm to a public sector institution or the general public. So there has been a phase in approach which we have followed as the AGSA, and for the year 2020-2021, SAPS was not part of the phase-in approach, but will now be phased in, and therefore it is scoped in for the MI implementation. Okay, and then if we go on to the governance as well as the internal controls, if we look at them and we look at the assurance providers as well as the governance structures there, we are saying that the CIRA senior management, they remain effective in terms of providing assurance. And then DOP, IPID, and CSP, we have rated them as the yellow. They indicating that they provide some assurance. This is because of some of the findings that we would have raised in the during the course of the audit. But otherwise, there's an upward movement there in terms of in terms of senior management. If we're looking at the accounting officers as the first level of assurance providers, so the accounting officers, CIRA and CSP, we have rated them as a green because of the work that that is attributed to in terms of implementing and pushing to ensure that everyone does what they're supposed to do. The OP and IPID, because of the findings that we have issued. Executive authority rated there as a green, as well as the audit committees. And this is an internal audit unit on the DOP, CSP, and CIRA. This is because of our lived interaction and also looking into what the value that they're adding to the department, the recommendations that are coming from them, yeah, as well as how they hold management accountable, hence the rating that we've given to them to say they are green and therefore they provide assurance. And if we're looking into effective leadership, I think I've spoken to some of those ones in terms of effective leadership. And then the vacancy at IPID or the CFO, it needs to be filled because the critical vacancy within the finance environment. If we're looking at proper record keeping, DOP and IPID, it's a little bit challenged there, which then that includes also the daily and monthly controls that are implemented and the review and monitoring of compliance. This is because of the findings that were raised within the performance information environment. And we're looking at the, when you look at the governance there, we're looking at the governance, we're rating the risk management, we're rating audit committees, we're also rating the internal audit, again, attributed to the findings that they've raised and the work that they do in order to add value to the departments or the entities. If we go on to the next slide, we're looking into the status of information technology environment, Honorable Chair. So the IT governance is there to ensure that there is effective and efficient use of IT to enable the entities to achieve its mandate. So if we're looking at the overall portfolio, there's challenges relating to DOP as well as IPID. And IPID, we're rating it there as a red because it is attributed to some of the findings that were raised in the finance, in the performance management environment. And then again, some of the challenges there is the inadequate funding to address the insufficient bandwidth. This is within the APID. The inadequate structures to support the implementation of IT governance processes. The vacancies within the ICT units due to the moratorium to fill their positions. And then these are all attributed to the IT governance environment. If we look at the recommendation, our recommendation is for the accounting officers to ensure that they drive the resolution of the IT findings. They need to come and resolve these findings. And they need to afford the IT function the strategic attention it requires to effectively address the business requirements, prioritize the budget for the filling of vacancies, or review the structures to align business as well as the IT requirements. On the system, IT system controls, there's legacy infrastructure which impacts on the ability to implement appropriate IT controls, insufficient bandwidth as well as the vacancies. So these are some of the things that needs to be prioritized within the portfolio. If we go on to the next slide, just looking at the portfolio snapshot, there has been an improvement overall relating to the submission of the financial information that are of financial statements that are of good quality because we have two clean audits and two unqualified with material findings. And on performance information, there's a regression there in the environment. This is because of IPID and the Department of Police. And then there were no findings on compliance with legislation on the three entities. We had a challenge with one, which is the police. And on a regular expenditure, there has been an improvement because the portfolio moved from being at 452 million to 2 million rands reported in the current year.
Oh.
If we go on, we just look at the overall recommendations for the police portfolio.
My apologies. My apologies, Ms. Tite. Could we please mute our mic? General?
No, that's fine.
Menu Tansela, can you please mute your...
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. So we're looking at the recommendations overall for the accounting authorities as well as the portfolio committees. So in terms of the recommendations, we're also again looking into the best practices that needs to be maintained. This relates to the CSP and CERA to say they need to continue implementing the internal controls and preventative measures relating to the fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure and unauthorized expenditure, and also encouraging the change in terms of setting the tone at the top, because I think they've set a really good tone at the top within the portfolio. There's a couple of things which still remain the challenge within the DOP and IPID, and some of them being the implementation of action plans, which needs to be consistent across all the police stations, as well as consequence management. Internal controls and compliance monitoring are not consistently being implemented despite the controls being designed. We've already mentioned that in the previous slides. And then operational system used for reporting in the environment are not appropriate as they lack functions to make the corrections and provide accurate time-based reports. So there needs to be change management required so that we see the value in terms of the change. This is on the subs performance information. And then in terms of IPID, there needs to be improvement relating to the record keeping to ensure that the supporting documentation is accurately downloaded and or uploaded on the system. And then if we look at what must be done, we need to look or what must be actioned or rather the improvements by the different entities there. So it's the action plans, the consequence management, as well as reviews in terms of compliance checking, and then IPID strengthening reviews on performance information. So the accounting officers, they need to strengthen the controls relating to proper record keeping and diligently maintain the reconciliations required to support the reported performance information. It goes back to the daily check-ins and ensuring that the daily internal controls are properly implemented. And then for the portfolio committees, the follow-up and, you know, just making sure that the department is properly tracking their action plans, as well as keeping all reconciliations for quarterly reports, which will feed into the annual report. And then consequence management is to be monitored by both the accounting
recording staff
as well as the portfolio committees. Portfolio committees need to make sure that there's proper consequence management and people are being held accountable on their level, just to track the performance of the department. Okay. Then we've spoken about the action plans and some of them relating to performance information as well as procurement and contract management. And that, Chair, brings me to the end of the presentation. Thank you so much for your time. We can take the questions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tipe, and thank you very much, Andries, from the Auditor General of South Africa's offices for the detailed information and the very good presentation. The 2020-21 financial year fell within the strictest restrictions of COVID-19 lockdown. And we know that this placed a significant strain on the resources of SAPS, both directly and indirectly. And despite the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, SAPS received an unqualified audit opinion with findings, and there have been various matters of emphasis that has been reported to us by the Auditor General's office. What we can note is that the overall performance improved in the 2021 financial year compared to the previous year. We can only say that there's still room for improvement. And as Ms. Tipe has highlighted, we have a number of challenges which we have to attend to and which we need to focus on. The department achieved 73% of its performance targets at the end of the 2021 financial year. The only area which performed very low and has achieved a lower performance rate was that of detective services program. I think we have to again state that the poor performance of the forensic science laboratory sub program has to be attended to, but we know that quite a bit of work has been done at the forensic science laboratories. The department has spent over 95% of their budget, and we know that there were material underspending and there were findings on this. Our role as a committee, portfolio committee, in our oversight is that of assessing the performance of the entities, taking into consideration our objectives to produce the budgetary review and recommendation report. So as we prepare the BRRR report, we thank the Auditor General's office for their input. I am going to allow first the National Commissioner and then the Deputy Minister and finally the Minister to make their brief comments before I do take questions. National Commissioner, just a brief comment. Morning, National Commissioner.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Morning, Honorable Members. Morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, the AG team, as well as our colleagues from both subs and as well as the Ministry. Chair, firstly, let me acknowledge and appreciate the expressions given to SAPS. And also at the same time, thank the AG for the cooperation and stance which they have taken with regard to compelling us to move towards improving, that is, the situation. And I also want to equally acknowledge and appreciate both the internal audit and as well as the audit committee, including our top management for the hard work which has been done. All I can say, Chair, for now is that, yes, the first thing after each and every internal audit, after each and every AG report, I have personally introduced the audit response action plan, which is now a principal instruction that we are following. And it is in terms of this audit response plan that we are taking note and provide a response to all the findings.
Recording in progress.
I have also at the same time decided to review the performance management system so that we fully align the audit process to the performance management system, just to ensure that we make sure that there's consequence management where there's non-compliance, and we declared certain of the findings as misconduct, especially a repeat finding. One of the biggest areas, I think, as outlined by the AG, is the unauthorized, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure part, which also links with various other aspects and factors, which include corruption. For that, we introduced the cleanup campaign, which I think worked for us a little bit best. We reviewed the internal control framework, and we also introduced a new risk management and enterprise risk management strategy. What helped us the most is also the contract management strategy with establishment of the contract management committee. I think those senior managers sitting there, they dealt with quite a lot of the areas. We then also complemented the investigations with a discipline strategy, a three-dimensional approach to it, and as well as the integrated resource strategy. We are going to continue to strive for a clean audit, to move from the unqualified report and escalate to clean audit, working together with the AG, but we are going to push everyone within the service just to make sure that everyone pull up his or her socks and we work towards the clean audit. This is what I can say for now, Chair, and that we have taken further note of this latest presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. Congratulations to you and your team, our Deputy National Commissioners, our CFO, General Dimpani, General Nsinga, General Masimola, General Zuma. I would also like to thank General Labia, Mr. Chauke, Mr. Rapia, our Divisional Commissioners. Special mention to General Rit from Supply Chain Management. We have been very, very tough on, and I think on many meetings we singled out General Rit to say that there has to be improvement in supply chain management. So, National Commissioner, thank you for your senior managers. The Secretary of Police is also in the meeting. Thank you very much. Our provincial commissioners are also in the meeting. Thank you very much, provincial commissioners. I'll now allow the Deputy Minister an opportunity to comment before the National Minister makes the closing remarks from that side, and then I'll allow questions or comments from the members. Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. I must from the onset indicate that there is a problem of load shedding that one is having, and as a result, I will not switch on the camera. Good morning to you, Chair, and members of the committee, the delegation from the Auditor General's Office, Minister of Police, the National Commissioner, and
my apologies, Deputy Minister.
Sure.
You can switch off your video.
Yeah, but I'm having a problem of load shedding, and I have switched it on here, but it doesn't come on. But I think
I'm saying you can switch it off, Deputy Minister.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's so that you can be clearer. Thanks, DM.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I was saying good morning to you, Chair, and members of the committee present here, the Auditor General's Office, the Minister of Police, General Bekele, the National Commissioner, General Stoller, the head of the Hawks, General Levia, and all top management from the police, and together with our provincial commissioners who have joined us, Chair, as part of our delegation and the staff. Yeah, indeed, today it's a good day. It's a day that as the delegation from the South African Police, we are proud of to appear before you having achieved an unqualified report after an intense program. Like we have already said that one of the people who were given a salted whip before the committee was General Vuma, and the delegation and other management from SAPS. And we made a commitment last year when we appeared before you that we are working diligently to improve the situation. And I'm happy that today we are appearing before you, having been confirmed by the Auditor General that there is an improvement. However, much more still needs to be done. The issues that the Auditor General has raised in the presentation, including amongst the things that he raised, was the role that the Internal Audit Committee of SAPS plays in this space. And it is indeed a product of a collective effort, like you said, the Internal Audit Committee, the Secretariat for Police, Mr. Rapia, who I haven't acknowledged in the course of my acknowledging other people here, who collectively made sure that we are where we are. We are not out of the woods. There are still teething challenges within SAPS. There are issues that the Audit Committee have raised with us, and these are issues that will continue to interact with the top management to make sure that these matters are dealt with, because the work of the Audit Committee and how they are structured and how issues must be interfaced with is clearly outlined in the Audit Committee Charter, which was approved by the Audit Committee, the National Commissioner and the Minister of Police last year. Of course, it must be reviewed annually, which currently they are in a process of doing that. We will make sure that we interface in a manner that it enhances and strengthens our capacity and our ability to sustain this audit outcome that we got, but also to improve on, not only to improve.
Hi. My apologies, DM. General, could you mute yourself, please?
Yeah, not only to improve the audit outcomes, but also to improve on the quality of service that we provide to our people. Once our people respond positively to the work of the police on the ground, that is the day we will be happy that indeed we have sustained and improved our ability to do work. But of course, it's not only our success as the police to arrive at this. It is through your offered chair together with members of the committee. And correctly so, the Auditor General has said, for this audit outcome to continue to be what it is and to improve, the portfolio committee has a role to play to monitor how we go about doing these things that have been identified by the Auditor General. So together as a team, we can call ourselves Team Police, because this is the space we work in as a portfolio committee and ourselves as SAPS, that we must work together as a team to improve on these processes. I should not belabor most of the things that I have said, like you have requested that I should briefly comment, and I should do so and allow the minister to give an overarching input on this. But yeah, it's a proud moment, I think, for all of us, for the men and women in blue. We can at least walk with our head held high that police can also get an unqualified audit opinion. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the Auditor General and to the delegation of SAPS led by the Commissioner. Thank you, and the Minister.
Thank you very much, Dean. Indeed, thank you very much to Andres and Mustipe for the hard work, as well as the team of the Auditor General. Deputy Minister, you have also been instrumental in assisting us, especially the Portfolio Committee, in attending to a number of the challenges we have had. Honorable Minister, this is your proud moment, and we wish to congratulate you upfront for assisting and really providing leadership to SAPS in this regard.
Honorable Minister, floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, you have made all salutations, and the Deputy Minister, I will say, I'll concur with your salutation. Too many of us and little time, as you have said. But Deputy Minister, yourself, National Commissioner, and the Team AXA that is here, and the provincial commissioners. Chairperson, is a proud moment, but it's also a fear moment. Because it's cold up there, and it's lonely up there. So when you keep going up, you find yourself lonely, and you become a good target for snipers. The higher you are, more vulnerable to snipers. Snipers should be anything, could be anything, and you need to avoid and try to make sure that you strengthen your stay up there. These attacks could be both internally as an organization and externally. So that proud moment then need to be guarded jealously and be protected. But also what needs to be protected are methodologies and all other structures that has assisted this organization to be where it is. We're not up there per se, but we're close. And as I've said, the higher you go, the colder it becomes, and the more open to the snipers. It will be important. One thing that interacting and talking to the Team AXA Chairperson is that they had the pleasure of listening management, especially from the office of the CFO. And I believe that needs to be one jealously guarded secret that the management listens, rather than being defensive, listens and correct and respond to those things that have been pointed out by the team AXA. That's one. Two, Deputy Minister has raised the issue that has been raised by Team AXA to say our internal structures have been beautifully placed to deal with us. Let's not disturb that. Let's enhance that. Sometimes it's not a very comfortable thing to be told internally that you are not doing well. Whether you are grumbling, whether you agree with it, please, all of us, we must make a correction. Thirdly, is that as Team Police, as a family of police, we're not always having comfortable times and luxurious times. There are times where boxing really does take place in many other places. We are here, sometimes we find bloody noses between and among ourselves to be where we are. It has not been only rosy path that we are here. And I think so long the outcomes, they look as they are, we'll continue to do those things of sometimes getting a corner and box one another for the best outcomes. Chairperson, with all the pride we have, with all good times, I would love to go to slide 17. Slide 17.
Honorable Minister, before you do, could I thank Andries because he has to join the Portfolio Committee on Health. Stipe will remain. My apologies for interrupting you, Minister. But I would like to really thank Andries because he has really briefed all of us. Minister, I'm sure he has briefed you. He has assisted us tremendously, and we would like to acknowledge the work he has done. You are excused, Andries and Ms. Tipe. Thank you very much for staying. Honorable Minister, you may continue. Once more, my apologies.
Thank you very much, Chair. Andres has really contributed tremendously with the team AXA. There is one point he raised of these clean audits, unqualified, and what it does and all that. So we have debated those things, Chairperson, internally. That's why with all this rosy picture and all that, and not pulling anybody and everybody down on the matters, I would love us to concentrate on slide 17, where the lack of progress to address prior year root causes concerning not progressing on APO. On the disagreements, as team police or family of police, with all halabaloo and niceties that is around us, we have to pay serious attention to that slide, Chairperson. That slide is also informed by what you find on the national plan, where the South Africans should not be told that they are safe, but they should feel that they are safe. And that slide, it tells us exactly that. And the percentage of reduction of the number of conduct crimes and all those things that are listed there, it will be a good day, Chairperson, a really beautiful day when the agreements there are reached. Those disagreements, they tell us that with all party time that we're having, we're still owing. And that is a big debt of percentage reduction on the number of conduct crimes, percentage reduction in the number of conduct crimes against women, 18 years, percentage reduction. We must really work hard as the police steps family to say next time the team AXA comes back here, they found an agreement. Because that agreement, it should be also with the contract with the South Africans out there, ordinary South Africans, and at those top 30 stations that they are talking about, and things that yourself, Chairperson, you have raised together with your portfolio committee time and again, the question of the firearms that are lost, the impact of those stolen and lost firearms on the communities, the murders, the rape and all that. So it's indeed, as I've said, that the higher you go, colder it becomes, and these questions are concentrated, and these questions need to be answered by us. But yes, one will take the opportunity to thank everybody, the police management, the ministry, and all those support us, and all those that whip us now and again, like yourself, Chair, as the DM has put it very well, that sometimes you used a salted shambok to put us together with your members to put us on proper line. These outcomes, they make us to feel good, but also to say there should be no regression from here. We must forever move forward and make South Africa proud as this organization, and indeed to make South Africa safe, and don't tell South Africa that it's safe. Make South Africa feel safe, and everybody agrees that we are doing our work. Thank you very much, Team AXA. I will really emphasize that point, Chairperson, and the portfolio committee, and the management of the South African police, and everybody, especially the National Commissioner and the CFO's office, whom sometimes you feel that they are too strict when you put things there. But when you see such outcomes, you are reminded that people are doing their work. And I hope we'll move from this yellow to green, and we join the other two as police. And then we go down to fish up the fourth one, which is an IPED. But for now, we're on the happy side. But this happiness needs to be jealously guarded and make sure that the progress happens and we never go back. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the portfolio committee as a whole. Thanks.
Minister, on behalf of the committee and your team, SAPs, your senior managers, we wish to congratulate you as well. Minister, you do know that we will, as a portfolio committee, we will be insisting on the timeless implementation of the recommendations of the AG's office. And in your reports on progress with material irregularities, we will oversee and influence the progress you are making. If there are any failures, Minister, we have been holding you accountable. And as we parliamentarians and the Portfolio Committee on Police, we have done our oversight work. So yes, Minister, there were times that we have been very harsh, and we will continue doing our work with the type of relationship we have built. I know that we can move to an unqualified audit without any findings, and that that will be an effective clean audit. Honourable members, I'm not going to take many questions. I would like us, the presentations have been very detailed. The National Commissioner, Deputy Minister and the Minister have also commented. I'm going to take very brief comments because we are a bit pressed for time. After the inputs and comments from the members, I'll ask that you do the presentations again. National Commissioner, I'm not going to allow you to read, and your CFO, General Dimpani, please. We are not going to let you, today is not your time to be going through a very detailed presentation. We've received your presentations well in advance. We have studied it, and we'll be brief and succinct, but we'll do our work thoroughly. Honourable members, I will take your hands now. Honourable Tablanche, and then Honourable Wook, Honourable Siadi.
Chairperson, thank you. Greeted the minister and everybody, the whole team already, Auditor General, yourself, the members. And I think, you know, one must always give credit where it's due. And I also want to start by congratulating the police on the audit outcome that they received. Chairperson, then there are, as the minister and everybody, they dealt already extensively with quite
Honorable Tablanche,
a lot of issues.
Honorable Tablanche, your network is a bit, Honorable Tablanche.
Yes, ma'am, can you hear me?
Your network is a bit unstable. Could you stop your video, please? Thank you.
Chairperson. Can you hear me better now?
That's better now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I said, the Minister did touch on this already, but I am concerned about the areas where no supporting evidence was given. You know, if that's the case, obviously the question arises, you know, is it really true then? And I think that is something that we need to focus on. We need to provide the evidence where needed. Chairperson, and then again, you know, we still have issues of contract management, and in all these environments, there is a huge improvement. So the contract management part, I know that firsthand that they are making good progress, but still, what worries me, Chairperson, is, you know, still cases, non-compliance with legislation. Now, that is a serious sort of situation that we will have to address. Chairperson, and then, you know, there are investigations going on for several years with no apparent movement, with no outcome, you know, with serious allegations against members. And I just want to know what is happening and what are we going to do to deal with this allegations seriously. And then the issue of discipline and consequence management. That is something that, you know, on face value, you know, it seems that there is a reluctance from the police's side to apply consequence management, to discipline people for things that they haven't done or done wrong. So really, I think that is important that we should be focusing on that. Chairperson, then for now, the last one that I want to raise is the issue of irregular expenditure. The numbers are skyrocketing. And Chairperson, it's not even catered for in the budget. So it's really a risk. So that is something that needs to be done. And I just want to get some maybe clarity on that. I know that that was also dealt with. Chairperson, for now, I think that covers my serious concerns. After the police's presentation, I will come with some other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Blanche, Honorable Siabi, and Honorable Shembeni. Honorable members, I can't hear Honorable Siabi. You can start again. Members, am I having difficulty with Honorable Siabi? Dr. Kinney?
It seems as if it's Honorable Siabi, but I see he's back. Thanks.
Yes, he has unmuted himself, but I can't hear him. Honorable Siabi?
Can you hear me, Chair?
We can hear you now.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now. Honorable Whoop, we can hear you. But now you've disappeared again. Honorable Shembeni, can we take you in the meantime? Yes, yes, Honorable Whoop, we can hear you. Dr. Kinnis, could you please call the Whoop and see what problems he's experiencing? Honorable Shembeni, we can take you in the meantime.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation of the Auditor General. I wanted to check with the outcomes there at slide number 20 of the nature of irregular expenditures. For instance, that they say now in the Department of Police, the majority results from the non-compliance with the triple PFA requirements. And then it talks about the local content and the contractual requirements not met. That is in the supply chain. Now, my biggest problem is that I think we've been talking about the problem of the supply chain. It's still, there are no improvements in the issuing of contracts from the supply chain. Are there still problems that they are issuing contracts to the contractors that does not meet the requirements? How can that happen? If that does happen, I think consequence management must be implemented, as to say these people are still doing what we say that they must not do. So we cannot sit here and talk one about the same thing each and every time. And then secondly, with the IPED, they said here the majority results from employees' appointments that did not follow proper processes. How? I want to check that to find out, are we still having departments that are not able to hire people in a correct manner? Because here they say now that they did not follow proper processes. It means now we are having people in the wrong places at the wrong time that are doing an important work to investigate the police. What is happening here? Actually, I want to hear the proper reason to say what is happening with the appointment of employees that does not meet the criteria. Because if they say they did not follow the processes, it means they just took anybody into employment without following the processes like advertising, like interviewing and the like. It's just that. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Whip, Honorable Siabe, he's back in.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. My apologies. I think I have a problem of network. What I want to know from, of course, greetings to the minister, the deputy minister, the provincial, the national commissioner, and all provincial commissioners, and everybody who's in the meeting, honorable members, to just want to know from AXA whether when they did their audit, that they considered the impact of COVID-19 on everything that SAPS had to do. Did they take that into consideration? Secondly, there was a mention of a 3.5 billion, which is to be investigated. I didn't get it clear, if they can come clear on that one. And to IP it, because there is a query about filling the position of CFO, which is a strategic position. When are we filling that position? And just as a comment, Chair, I'm worried about the AXA comment that there's lack of progress to address prior year root causes. So this is a problem. The minister said we need to move forward and get even better results. But if we continue not addressing prior year root causes, we'll have a problem in getting better results than we got now. And again, in IPIT, there was a comment about irregular appointments. Is it a regular appointment of contractors or irregular appointment of staff? But having said that, Chair, we want to congratulate the minister or SAPS as led by the minister for this better achievement on the audit outcome. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. General Sotole, could you indicate who's going to respond? They should respond very briefly because we will be taking that when we discuss the programs. And then I'll allow the Auditor General's office to do most of the responses. General Sotole, you could also indicate who will answer some of the questions. National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Let me also express my appreciation to the honorable members for the questions that they have raised and the guidance included together. Chair, I will only give two responses. Then, with your permission, I would then ask that the CFO responds on the question of the unauthorized expenditure, the more clarification needed, and also then General Vuma and Reed on the contracts. Chair, the question I wanted to respond to is the one on consequence management. I just wanted to indicate that the cleanup campaign that I related to has got a criminal investigation dimension and a departmental investigation dimension, which are all implemented concurrently. And there is no compromise with regard to consequence management. We have also then extended the consequence management to the performance management system, where we said, let us also declare the non-response or reaction to audit findings, a performance misconduct. And for that reason, we have lined these ones up, but we have taken note of the concerns raised with regard to discipline. But at the same time, I also want to indicate that there's quite a lot of actions taken with regard to discipline and also making sure that the organization moves towards a clean audit. And some of them are very harsh. Then there was the question on outstanding investigations. I think outstanding investigations, there are those that are dealt with by SAPS investigations, and there's where SAPS is working together with IP as well as Treasury, an integrated and multidisciplinary approach. But now ID has also come to the fore. Hence, the effort to speed up the investigation, the capacity has now been increased. But we are giving as much cooperation as possible. And it is not, we will also then follow up to say, why is unauthorized expenditure still repeating itself? But there are possibilities that these unauthorized expenditure pertaining to contracts could be affecting some of the previous investigations. And it might relate to investigations not finalized. But we look at the current ones and just make sure that we take action as we identify the discrepancies and as well as the irregularities. But as from now and how we came here, it's because of the non-compromise and the zero tolerance to queries as pointed out, either as maladministration, corruption, or any deliberate violation of certain, of any of the sections of the law. Finally, we have also added the Section 81 investigative approach to recover any loss by the state on any of these incurred expenditures as a result of own serious and deliberate misconduct by members. Chair, with your permission, maybe the CFO, General Women, General Reed, can take some of the operational questions. Thank you, Chair.
General Sitole, National Commissioner, could I allow them to respond when we do the programs 1 and 2? Honorable members, could you allow me to make this ruling? Because I'm just afraid that the Auditor General's office will leave, and I would rather want the Auditor General's office to come in now and take the other responses later. Honorable members, I'm sure you can allow me that leeway, or else the Auditor General's office will be leaving us soon.
It's in order with us, Chair.
Thank you very much. Deputy Minister, we need you to also mute your mic. Thank you, Deputy Minister. From the Auditor General's office, Ms. Tipe, are you going to assist us and also allow your team to come in?
Yes, Honorable Chair, I will be taking some of the questions. Some of them was going to be covered by Mukiti Mulaudzi as well as Stanley Mafuniswa Stendani. Honorable Chair, in terms of the questions that was raised by Honorable Terblanche relating to the non-compliance in the supply chain management environment, yes, it is a concern that we are raising, but it's also important to note that what we look into, we also look into the repeat findings. So we'd find that in the prior years, what we had multiple findings relating to the non-compliance. But in the current year, there's about three paragraphs that we have in the audit report that relates to the findings that the non-compliance issues that we've had. So there has been some sort of reduction. We're still concerned, yes, but there is some reduction in that regard. I think Mokhithi will touch on that a little bit more in detail when it's her turn. And then in terms of the consideration of the impact of COVID-19 on the police, the question that was raised by Honorable Shembeni, this one, yes, we did consider it, and we were working very closely with General Rabi's office and the CFO, General Timpani's office, where they were not able to assist us. It came at a time there were actually COVID-19 issues. There were also the unrest, the country's unrest around, that time. So we had discussions, we had negotiations, they accommodated us where they could. Where they could not, they would come to us and we would negotiate on the different timelines. So hence the report was not signed. It was supposed to have been signed on the 31st of July, but we had to then postpone it so that it was then signed by the end of August. And then in terms of the 3.5 billion that needs to be investigated, this one is attributed to the findings that were raised by ourselves as the AGSA. And then on top of that, we had to consider the National Treasury's guideline, where it was giving them a leeway, an opportunity to go and investigate it. So essentially we're saying in the financial statements, on the top part, the main note, there's about 1.7 disclosed in the current year and about 1.3, I speak under correction, relating to the overall balance of irregular expenditure. But when you look underneath, in the actual note, there is irregular expenditure to be investigated, which is about 3.5 billion. So whenever we raise a finding from a process point of view, we raise a finding. After we raise a finding, management has an opportunity to respond to our findings. And on top of that, they have a responsibility to go and investigate that irregularity to say, is it really irregular expenditure or is it not irregular? Do they agree or not agree? So in instances where there are some disagreements, they have a responsibility to go and investigate. So National Treasury then gave them 3 months to investigate this. When we signed our report, we signed it on the 31st of August, which was, they were still within that period of investigation. So this is where it is still coming in. So hence I even mentioned to say that when we go now in interim, that we should be able to be provided with investigations to say, AG, we have investigated and here is the outcome of the investigation. And then in terms of performance information, on some indicators, yes, there is lack of progress. Those ones, they relate to the contact crime as well as the firearms. But the women and children, when we compare last year to this year, the last year there was no indicators relating to the women and children. So hence the increase, and we're saying that there is some regression in that particular environment. With your permission, Honorable Chair, I would like to now hand over to Mokhithi Molaosi, who will then talk to the findings relating to the local content as well as the contractual agreement within the supply chain management environment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that input and clarity. You may continue now.
Thank you, Chair Alan, for the opportunity. So for the question raised on the kind of irregular expenditure, so I'll speak to local content. Local content is instances whereby when you procure goods and services, we need to make sure that our procurement is mainly made from local production, meaning those companies or those industries that are hiring our own people and producing their goods and services here in the country. So DTI, the Department of Trade and Industry, has a guidance that is used whereby you need to communicate when you issue a tender or a quotation to say, from this tender, we will need 10% that is procured locally, or maybe 100% in case of furniture. So these percentages, they differ from goods and the different kinds of goods and services. So you find that on some of these instances, it was not specified upfront to say we will need 100% when you tender in these services. So then it results in non-compliance with this regulation. And then on the one for contractual agreement not met, so this one, it was not necessarily a direct AG finding, but what management identified during the year, you'll find that some of these things, they will allocate them as contractual agreements not met. But if you look in terms of the nature, it's because of the different reasons. Some of them would be that maybe a contract has expired in this case, or maybe when we procured from this service, we did not follow the proper procurement contract. So maybe national, we don't have an approval by the relevant official, be it, or maybe when we are extending a contract. So it's a lot of different reasons, but later when management elaborate on this, they can give you the different kind that resulted in this finding. But in most cases, you'll find that maybe a contract has expired, or maybe the services, when they occurred, it was prior to the proper approval by the relevant authorities being obtained. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mokiti, for those responses. You're assisting us tremendously. You may continue now.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just on the irregular expenditure of IPID. So, yeah, if you look at the financial statements, there's basically two incidents there of irregular expenditure, and they all relate to human resource-related incidents. So one is on the danger allowance, wherein it was about 75,000, where the danger allowance was not paid in line with resolution one of the PSBC. Then the other one is the one on the appointment, wherein there was an employee who was then appointed in the National Specialized Investigation Team. And when the employee was appointed, the employee did not meet the specific requirements of that job. So yeah, so then it was then not in line with the requirements then of the PSA, because you then need to meet requirements of the job that you are appointed in. So yeah, those are the two incidences. So the one that didn't meet the requirements of the post, the irregular expenditure, is basically then the salary which was paid to that employee, and as at year end, it amounted to 637,000. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those responses. Ms. Tipe, closing remarks, Ms. Tipe.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I trust that we've covered all the questions appropriately so. And it's also important for us to commend the department, Honorable Chair, and just a word of appreciation to them, as well as yourself, in terms of accommodating us during a difficult time. CSP and Sarah, it was difficult, but yet they managed to give us some of the information within 2 or 3 days. And yeah, even when there were weekly closing of the buildings there at SAPS, the buildings that we are occupying, they were able to then grant us an additional building that we can use, so that the audit then moves, and then we're then able to fast track the audit. So thank you so much, Chairperson, for this opportunity. We thank you for the questions and the inputs, and then the work is mostly now on the department and Sierra to ensure that they maintain the audit outcomes and also improve and also maintain the best practices. Thank you so much, Chairperson. We'll remain a little bit in the meeting, Chair, with your permission, and then, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tipe, and for the hard work you and your team, please convey our gratitude to Andries again and to the Auditor General. Thank you very much for assisting us in this significant way. Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, I do not think you need to introduce the next presentations. We are just going to continue because of time constraints. The Auditor General's Office, Ms. Tipe, please assist us and continue being in the meeting. We appreciate the fact that you could still be joining us. Could I have an indication, National Commissioner? General Reed, General Vuma, and General Dimpani, you will have an opportunity to comment when we continue with Program 1 and Program 2. So please accept my apologies. It's not an indictment on you. I'll give you sufficient time to respond when after you have done your presentations. I'll allow for the presentation. General Sithole, could you indicate who is going to lead us in this presentation? We don't need introductions now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity again. Chair, our presentation is going to be done jointly by Major General Leon Rabi and as well as Lieutenant General Dimpani, the CFO. Upfront to them, and as per their request, the directional request from the chair, shall we give a summary of the presentation? If possible, we can use a 10-20 minutes so that we do not take much time. The portfolio committee members have received the presentation, so we'll follow a summarized approach in terms of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sithole and your team. Again, my appreciation that we have received your presentations timely. General Sithole, you will have enough time, so let's give you 20 minutes, and as we have agreed, it would be a summary and not a detailed presentation. Thank you, General Sithole, your team. General Rabi and Dimpani, the floor is yours.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members of the Committee, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, Senior Management of the entities in attendance. Honourable Chair, the presentation has indicated there are three parts to the presentation, of which we will actually deal with the first two, because the AGSA findings has already been addressed. With your permission, ma'am, I will hand over to General Dimpani to assist or to present section one of the presentation that deals with the audited financial results. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, General Rabi. General Dimpani.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee, Minister of Police, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, all protocol observed. Chairperson, in terms of Section 1, slide number 4, this is just an indication that the department received an unqualified audit opinion. This has already been discussed with AG. I will not deliberate much. In terms of slide 5, Chairperson, these are the areas that were troubling the department over the 5 years. We just wanted to indicate that eventually we managed to resolve those particular areas of qualification as emphasized by AGSA. On slide 6, Chairperson, this is our income statement or financial performance for the period. This is a summary. We had revenue, 99.560 billion that was allocated at the initial year. 95.583 billion was utilized. This resulted in a 95.9% of voted funds spent. Chair, in terms of slide 7, voted funds and departmental payments, this is as per our appropriation statement, pay program summary, program 1 at the end of the financial year, the actual spending was 98.4%. Visible policing, which is program 2, actual spending was 95%. And program 3, detective services, actual spending at the end of the year was 94.9%, with crime intelligence having spent 98.3% at the end of the financial year. Program 5 Protection and Security Services with a 98.7% spent at the end of the financial year. Slide 8 gives a little bit of an overview of spending performance at economic level. On slide 8, we are indicating that in general terms, overall spending performance was materially affected by COVID-19 lockdown regulations and the unforeseen and avoidable nature of the pandemic that essentially impacted on the extent to which personnel movements were restricted, especially within the big cost centers, such as provinces and training interventions that had to be reconsidered or terminated. In addition, procurement processes and spending on buildings and infrastructure could not realize as anticipated due to the challenges the department had to manage during the financial year, mainly as a result of the state of emergency that was proclaimed. Slide 9, Chairperson, is an overview of spending per program. Program 1, there was a lower than linear spending, mainly as a result of COVID-19 lockdown. You will notice, Chairperson, that this particular regulations affected almost all our programs. However, on Program 2, there was an allocation of baseline prioritization towards COVID-19 expenditure. This was required from the department. As a result, additional funding of 3.7 billion was allocated. There was also a rollover funding for PPEs and baseline reductions during adjustment estimate processes that were provided for under this particular program. Program 3, we had challenges in relation to low spending on the integrated criminal justice strategy, as well as the impact of COVID-19. Program 4 and 5 were equally affected by the COVID-19 lockdown regulations that prevented movements of staff employees between provinces and also affected procurement in this regard. In terms of slide 10, Chair, due to the spending performance realizing a surplus towards the end in each one of the programs, no variance approvals were required. Subsequent to an evaluation of the balances on the vote at year end, a submission to National Treasury was made to request for funds to be rolled over, essentially to provide for costs associated with COVID-19, since no additional funding was appropriated for this purpose in this current year. Chair, in terms of our revenue, we had collected for the National Revenue Fund during the year 672.450 million as disclosed on note 2. Of our financial statements. There are reasons there in terms of what constitutes the 600 million. We've got sale of goods and services produced by the department. We had fines and penalties and forfeits that we collected, interest received via corporate banks, sale of capital assets, as well as transactions in assets and liabilities that make up the 672 million. Chair, in terms of slide 12, this is a summary of Program 1 with its sub-programs. As I indicated, we realized a 98.4% overall spend for Program 1 in this regard, Chairperson. In terms of slide 13, Program 2, which is visible policing, with its sub-programs that includes crime prevention, border security, specialized interventions, as well as facilities, we realized a 95% spent at the end of the financial year. There are expenditure drivers that we have highlighted there, Chairperson, in relation to this particular program, which constitute the biggest portion of...
Honourable Chair, it's General Robbie. I'm not sure if the problem lies on my side, but I've lost General Dambane. I'm not sure if I'm still audible.
Honourable Chair.
No sound. I think there's a problem of connectivity. Whip, can you assist? I think there's a problem of connectivity. Whip.
Yeah, it looks like Chair herself.
The Chair.
I got.
Hello.
Yeah, it looks like Chair herself has some problems.
Mr. Siabi, we can hear you. Thank you.
Apologies, Chair. I got.
Can you hear me?
May I proceed, Chair?
Mr. Siabi, you're audible.
Please continue. Lieutenant General, please continue.
Thank you very much.
Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I was on slide 14 in relation to detective services. With its sub-programs, we had realized a 94.9% spent. In the main, our understanding was realized on forensic science laboratory, Chairperson. In terms of program four, which is crime intelligence, with its sub-programs, crime intelligence operations, intelligence and information management, we had realized a spending of 98.3% in this particular regard. Here, we just wanted to indicate that the secret service account is not part of the vote of police. It is not included on program four. Program five, a Chairperson, protection and security services with its sub-program, VIP protection services, static protection, government security regulator, and operational support. At the end of the financial year, we had realized 98.7% in this regard. Less overtime and subsistence and travel expenditure was lower than in the previous financial year as a result of restrictions to movement. This is just a summary, Chair, in terms of the financial outcome for the financial year. With your permission, I will hand over to General Ravi to quickly take us through the audited annual performance results. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The next part of the presentation, we will deal with the performance of results and duly aware of the findings that were made by AGSA and the recommendations associated with the performance information. Honourable Chair, you've already indicated that we, during the past financial year, we were monitoring a total of 95 performance indicators. We've achieved 70. That represents an achievement rate of 73.68%. I will also just briefly touch on the respective financial programs. On this slide, we want to highlight program three. And I would say that if I remember correctly, you've already referred to the fact that this is the program where we have the or had the highest number of indicators not achieved. As far as the individual programs are concerned, on the program one, there we had 21 performance indicators, of which we achieved 17. The approach that we follow is that we just give an indication of the areas where we did achieve the targets. There was a reduction in our firearm losses, 566 firearm losses.
My apologies, General Ravi. You accidentally forgot to mute yourself, DM. We'll get the DM. And Honorable Wop, thanks for coming in for me, but you also forgot to mute yourself.
Oh, what were you saying, Chair?
You forgot to mute yourself.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry, General Ravi, you can continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Can I confirm that the presentation is still visible on your
yes.
side?
Yes, okay. It's still visible. Sorry, I really, let's just soldier on today. We just have to be very patient with each other, but we are in and out, and I'm sure we can manage as a team. We have managed thus far. So, General Ravi, apologies when we're not here, when I'm being kicked out and then I join again. So we are assisting one another and thank you for being that patient with us. General Ravi?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We achieved the target in terms of the procurement of mobile contact points in total 15. We've upgraded 5 digital radio communication sites. That is 2 more than what we initially planned for. And then in terms of the various training programs, we have achieved the percentage of learners that were declared competent. That includes crime prevention, crimes against women and children, crime investigations, public order policing, forensic science, etc. The numbers of the particular numbers of the people that have been trained are reflected on this slide. I would say then we also, in terms of the initiation of or the implementation of IPAT recommendations, we dealt with 123 and we did achieve the target on the 60 days. We had no confirmed incidents of unauthorized expenditure in the financial year. there was a 66% decrease in the expenditure, that irregular expenditure, that is 8 relative to 24 in the previous financial year. We also noted a 23% reduction in fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that is 36 compared to 47. The governance framework was submitted and approved by the National Commissioner. The forensic audits were conducted, in total 8, and from inspectorate perspective, they have completed 33% more inspections than initially planned for, that's 308.